Welcome to the Do Your Good podcast series. In this podcast series, you'll hear from me, Sybil, and other experts in the field to help you make your money matter and make a huge difference in the world. I come to you with over two decades of experience as a person who's helped donors give away over $45 million in donations, both large and small. This podcast series is meant to give you the tools you need to be effective in the world and fund nonprofits and issues that you care about with meaning and purpose, and to make a true, deep difference in the world. Hello, everybody. I am delighted to introduce you to season five of my podcast series. Season five is especially for my nonprofit friends to help you hone your fundraising pitch. I did a live training that was 8 months long every first Monday of the month, and it was super popular with my email subscribers. I had such wonderful interactions from nonprofits, and in each training, I focused in on one of seven key elements that I think you need, my nonprofit friend, to be successful in honing your fundraising pitch. So what I'm doing now for this season five of the podcast is I've heavily edited the live training, and I also offer some of my own special interjections in the middle of the training to guide you and point you in the direction of even more resources, so that you in the podcast universe, in the nonprofits who attend to listen to my podcast, you can get the benefit of my training. If you're a donor that likes to listen to my podcasts, please share this with your favorite nonprofit, because this training is geared to help them raise even more money. And I'm sure as a donor, you want your nonprofits to succeed. And a couple things to note as you listen to this live training. I do interject occasionally because sometimes the video version of a live training doesn't translate that well into the podcast world. And so I interject to sort of help guide the conversation. I also have wonderful assistants that help me. And so sometimes you'll hear a voice that you don't recognize, and that is my assistant coming in to make sure that the questions that the audience are asking is coming into the flow of the training and the conversation.
Today is going to be, now I understand if you're multitasking, that's totally fine, but we are going to have a fairly interactive conversation today about collaboration, because it does sort of require that a little bit. So I'm going to have a little template document we're going to work through. So if you are by your computer and you have a pen and pencil, you might want to grab it. I'm very much looking forward to this. I want to roll up my sleeves with you all and really think through how to talk about collaboration super well. Oh, yay. So many people are logging in right now. This is terrific. And it looks like Alyssa has also joined us. So I'm so lucky. I have Alyssa and Amanda today helping me with backup and really helping me go through everything. Mm-hmm. And I want to thank you both for being here. Thanks, Amanda. Thanks, Alyssa. And yay, I see people going in the chat. Hi, Lorraine from Central Oregon, Land Watch in Bend. Hi, Mara. The Coast Salmon Foundation, and hello, Elizabeth from Austin, Texas, working with Justice for Our Neighbors, an immigration, a nonprofit immigration law office. This is awesome. Please be sure you keep putting in the chat like who you are, where you're from. And like I said before, this is going to be a fairly interactive conversation today, because I really want you guys to get this right on talking to funders about who you are collaborating with. I think we're going to start, and as folks keep coming on, Amanda and Alyssa will watch for that. And so here we go. Ready? Ready or not? Here we go, you guys. Okay. So here, this specific training is how to explain collaboration in your pitch so that you don't undermine your cause. And this is my Be Real training that I do the first of the month. And as you know, I am Sybil. So we're going to learn how to unlock a donor's mind so your cause becomes theirs. So here we go. All right, here's what we're going to do today. First, I just want to do a refresh. This is part of a series, my discussion with you about collaboration. My series is to talk to you about the seven elements to include in a fundraising pitch. And today, as you know, we're going to go do a deep dive about how to explain collaboration in your pitch so you don't undermine your cause. Okay, so the first thing is the pitch. Let's just make sure that you remember these 7 elements to always include in your pitch, okay? I want you to have a good success statement, a good problem statement, explain your role super well. I want you to talk about how any donation that someone gives you leverages other donations. I also want you to explain how you can scale your work. I want you to discuss your collaborators, and I want you to have a crystal clean budget, clear budget, so that people really know what it's all about. And if you're my loyal listeners and loyal followers, you'll know that every month for the last 5 months, I've done an in-depth training on success, problem, role, leverage, scale. We're today on collaborators. And then next month in May, we're going to talk about budget. First, you know what? I'm like getting distracted because we've got some really cool people on this chat. People from St. Louis, from the Thomas Dunn Learning Center. Hi, Paula. And Raina. Oh my gosh, Raina, yay. You're over at Beyond Toxics. Oh, this is great. So keep introducing yourself on the chat to everybody. And let's keep going. So now what we're going to do is we're going to talk about collaboration. So how to explain your collaborations with other folks. Here's a plug and play template. It's really simple. You just say, we work closely with the following collaborators who help us achieve our mission, and you list them. If you work well together with your collaborators, you can raise more money, not less, if you talk about it right. So that's why we're going to dig into this today. If you don't, and you act like you're the only one out there doing the work, you actually will raise less money. I've seen it happen in person that you raise less money that way, because anyone who's a donor giving money out to a cause they care about, they're talking to lots of people about that cause. And if someone overstates and says, we're doing it all, and then doesn't share the wealth, they look like they're not really being genuine. And so I don't want that to be you. That's why we're talking about collaboration today. All right, so we're going to go through a little checklist today. The first one is, I do want you to ask yourself, does your work require collaboration? And if so, I want you to read on in this checklist. I want you to then create a campaign plan and budget with your collaborators. Talk to them about how this can work. And then be open with donors if you have disagreements over strategy, because that does happen and it's totally fine. It's just really important that you talk to your donors about those disagreements so that the donors themselves don't find out about it from other people, because they will. They talk to lots of people if they care about a cause, and it's better to step ahead of that. So for these 3 things, does your work require collaboration, how to create a campaign plan and budget with your collaborators, and then how to be open with your donors about disagreements so that it helps your cause and doesn't hurt your cause, this is what we're going to talk about today.
Hi, everyone. This is Sybil. I want to interject here for a minute. If you're interested in looking specifically at the checklist and thinking about these things even more, please check out my website on my blog. I have much more detail with the plug and play template that I'm referring to and all the other items. So check that out. Thanks.
I know you're on the edge of your seat. This is so exciting, right, guys? All right. So let's dig into the question. Does your work require collaboration? Okay, because very, very occasionally, you might be doing something so niche, so unique, that there's absolutely nobody else out there that's doing it. I myself have never seen that before, but it could be the case. So that's why I want to offer this as an option. You can say, hey, so I am so much just doing my own thing that there's nobody else out there in this space doing it. So I'm not going to worry about this training. Here's how you can do this to sort of ask yourself, does your work require collaboration? First, define your goal. So all of you that are on this thing right now, please think about your goal. Then ask yourself if success to achieve your goal requires other nonprofits to help you achieve that goal. So think about that. If yes, then continue to this next question, okay? If yes, then create a campaign plan with your collaborators, which are the other nonprofits in your space, that clearly identifies each nonprofit's unique role to achieve the desired outcome, okay? So that's my charge to you. And I am telling you, very few nonprofits do this. You do it informally, but you don't do it in a slightly more formal way so that when a donor approaches you, they can navigate these pieces. They usually have to do, they have to create their in their own mind where each nonprofit, what they're doing to achieve the mission and goal, where they're headed, what they're doing. And, you know, then the donor will do that in their own mind. But if you do it, you own that collaboration. You own which nonprofit's doing what. You can define it. You can explain, okay, this nonprofit is really good at media and communications. So they're doing XYZ to achieve our goal. This nonprofit is really good at the legal system, navigating the legal system. We rely on this nonprofit to do XYZ, that the legal piece. So that's how you, and you all can talk about it.
And now for an ad, but don't go away because I've got lots more to talk about related to collaboration. Hello, everyone. I want to let you know that I am putting forward a pretty exciting new podcast season, which is going to focus on the journey I took with one of my clients to think through effective funding strategies to reduce firearm-related suicide in rural and remote communities, specifically looking at Oregon as an example. So tune into my podcast series September 30th through October 21st. Every Monday, I'll have a new special episode specifically discussing this issue. Thanks a lot.
Even if you have slight disagreements around strategy or tactics, that's okay. You can even put that in. You can say, well, this group is a little more radical on the issue. This one tends to compromise a little bit, but we figured out our niche. You know, some people need to be on the outside pushing. Some people are on the inside and we understand that, but the, you know, that kind of thing. Okay. So, but I would suggest, and I want to challenge you to try to do this proactively so that when donors come to you, you can easily lay this out. There's no place better to explain how your organizations are working together and what their niches are than in your fundraising plan. Okay? Because, and this also doesn't happen enough, I don't think. So even if you come together and the group say, here's our unique niche, we all agree that these are the places that each group is best at, and you're very clear on that, which you do. But then what happens is the fundraising part, you end up still giving all of the donors different asks that can end up being confusing and conflicting, even if in the write-up it's not confusing. So what you need to do is this needs to translate to the budget and how you write your budget. Okay? So what I've done is I've created a template that I want you all to, and it's free template. And just so you all know, I have converted all of my stuff to be 100% free. I'm not charging for any of my trainings anymore at all. This is just to support you guys to succeed. And Amanda has helped me rejigger my website. So we've left the platform that used to charge people. And instead, we're going to be putting free resources up regularly for everybody. Right, Amanda?
Correct. So everything's going to be free now.
This specific template is a budget template for nonprofits, but it's specifically on how to do budget for collaboration. Now, next month in May, we're going to really geek out on just how to do a budget well in general, just for your organization. So this is going to be wrapped up in that, but this one is specifically how to do a budget when you want to do a budget with more than one nonprofit together to show a donor that you're all working together towards common cause. Okay. Here's the way I think you do it. Very can do it really effectively. And it's when I've seen this done well, this is when people are able to really raise money for their cause. Okay. So a collaborative budget, what it has is a coalition budget at the top half of the budget. Don't worry, you guys, I'm going to show you a visual of this as well. So there's a coalition budget where you have at the top half of the budget, which shows items that the entire coalition will share in common in order to succeed. So what I mean by that is sometimes all of you, maybe you all have expertise in like legal work, organizing, some other things. But what you don't all already have, one group doesn't have expertise in is, let's say, media and communications. So you all actually want to contract a expert media firm on that issue. So that would be a coalition budget item where you're like, okay, okay, not one of us wants to do this media piece. We want to fund a firm that will be accountable to all of us to raise the profile of the campaign we're working on together. So that's the top line stuff. Or there might be some research papers that you all want to fund together. And so you can put that at the top and you say, this is what we need. I'll show you a visual for it in a minute. The bottom half of the budget is still just as important. That's what I call the collaboration budget. The bottom half has your nonprofit, each of your nonprofits listed. And then you say, here's the nonprofit that does X. We're experts at legal stuff. So we need a certain amount of money to fund us for the legal work. Okay. And so that's very much focused on the individual organization and what they need. Because I think it's very important to have the coalition budget and then the collaboration budget all in one budget. And the reason I say that is what'll happen is a donor might come to one or two of you and you might say, oh my gosh, our big gap that we need filled is media and communications. And so they'll say, okay, we'll put $50,000 or something into the media and communications. And they'll incorrectly then think that individual nonprofits are already fully funded to do the work, which is almost never the case. So that's why it's very important to have a top of the line coalition budget and then a bottom of the line collaboration budget.
This is Sybil interjecting here. It can sometimes be hard to visualize what I mean when I'm talking about top of the line and bottom of the line budgeting in a collaboration budget. In the live training, I could show the template right there and we could go through it. When you're listening to this podcast, it might be a little confusing for you. So please, when you have time, go into my blog and I'll have a link to this specific collaboration budget concept on my website so you can download it and check it out. I know I say that already in the live training, but it feels like I really wanted to emphasize that for you here. Please check it out on the website and feel free to email me if you have any follow-up questions. Thanks.
So here you are. You want to make a major difference, move something. And there's like 3, 4, 5 nonprofits all working on this at the same time. And so here's where we're talking about top half and bottom half. So this is a hypothetical, right? It could be that there's some other things that you want to do, but here on the top half, so this is a campaign where in the top half, this campaign has decided that individual nonprofits don't have the expertise necessary to do the communications work that needs to happen to move this issue. Okay. So that means you want to pool funding and you all agree, like, we need communications, but there's no one group that can cover that. So that's a top of the line issue where you're all trying to raise money. And so you have it here called communications, top half of the budget. You have a strategic plan that is having the consultant create the plan to do your social media strategy. You have an amount there. You have polling because you want to really poll people to understand what your communication should be. You hire a social media firm, and then you also hire a firm that's doing the artwork and videos. Okay, so this, again, hypothetical, and then this is the total. Okay, so what this does is whenever you guys, all of you, the nonprofits that are working on this campaign, whenever you go out fundraising for the work, you're going to fundraise for your own internal work that you need, but you're also going to say, and we need communications. If you want us to succeed at this goal, which donor, you do because you're interested, here's the additional resources we need to do together. Okay. Then on the bottom, that was the top line. And it's not always just communications. It can be research materials, all that kind of thing. Okay. It can be anything top of the line that your individual nonprofits can't do alone. All right. Then on the bottom, you have the coalition expenses. Then here's the bottom half of the budget. The bottom half is here. Okay. This is where you're talking about your individual organization. So on mine, these are completely hypothetical nonprofits. I'm inventing these names because I just want you to see what it could look like. So in this case, we're working on a campaign that's trying to, let's say, end houselessness in Houston. I think it's Elizabeth who's from Houston, right? Elizabeth, are you from Houston? Austin, you're from Austin. Elizabeth, I think of you.
Okay. Close.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm from Oregon, so I apologize. Anyway, so let's say we're trying to end houselessness. Okay. So we've had the top of the line campaign work that all of you might need, but then each individual organization needs funding. We have the Houseless Action Group. What they specifically do is they organize community activists. And then you have the Tent City Advocates, where your support promotes storytelling about houseless people's lives and bring dignity back to the community. Transition Housing Support Center. These, again, are hypothetical groups. They're offering concrete data about houselessness. University Research Center for Houselessness. They're doing like the research work. And that, so then you have these individual groups. And the other important thing about this, when you have your individual groups, is it's explaining, the description is explaining what the contribution is so that the donor really knows that. Then what you do that's super cool is a lot of times you all in the nonprofit world, you already have money allocated towards this goal that you're trying to accomplish. So be sure you put that in here, committed. See the committed column? And then you have the need column. The reason that these two columns are important is it shows that you already have skin in the game for the issue you're working on. The donor knows that this is an important enough issue to you that you're working on it already, but there's still a need there. So that they also know that even if they fund the entire top of the line budget, which is the joint stuff that you need to make this move and this thing happen, there's still things that you in the nonprofit world still need. And then you can help your friends. So the University Research Center for Houselessness needs $25,000. Houseless Action Group needs $50,000. So Tent City and Transition Housing, they're fully funded this year for it. They can help Houseless Action Group and University Research Center raise that money as well. They can say, look, we might already have the funds. And it makes everybody look so good and collaborative. And the donor loves it because they can really see what's going on. It's like a full snapshot of what's happening. The last item I want to be sure I explain to you here is it's also extremely important not to forget to put a timeline. Okay, so put that timeline right up front. How long is this budget? Because sometimes these budgets aren't in total year. Sometimes they're January to December. Sometimes they're not. And it's important there too, because you and in your individual nonprofit world, you have different fiscal years as well. And so that could matter in terms of timing for when you ask for the funding.
And now for an ad, but don't go away because I've got lots more to talk about related to collaboration. Hello, everyone. I'm so glad that you're enjoying my podcast. In my podcast, I hope to talk to you, the wonderful donors and philanthropists that I work with, to help you think through the most effective way to make your money matter. I also, in my podcast series and through all my trainings, want to help and support the nonprofits that are out there trying to raise money and hone their pitch. Because I'm somebody that works with donors, I get pitched all the time by amazing nonprofit leaders, so I know what it takes to raise money effectively. Please check out everything I have to offer at www.doyourgood.com. I have a whole host of course materials and lessons, videos, downloadable documents, a blog that I keep updated. All of it is 100% free for you to see and review and learn from. Please check it out. Again, www.doyourgood.com. Thanks a lot.
And another thing I don't want to forget is on the top half, this coalition budget, you all are going to want to agree to one nonprofit taking those funds on behalf of all of the groups, either as a fiscal sponsor or maybe you all get along so well that you agree to one place. Or maybe there's two of you that are willing, or three of you that are willing to take some of these funds with the express understanding that the funds for the top of the line, above the line budget go towards the group and not the individual nonprofit. They go towards the group cause. Amanda, before I move on and bring back my slideshow, are there any other questions that you see in the chat right now as people are digesting this that we should address at this moment?
Yeah, so there's a few things we can talk about. Is we don't have anything about the budget yet. I think people are still digesting it.
Okay, great.
But we have Janet, to go back a little bit, shared her goal, like her collaborators. So we can read that and talk about that. So Janet says that her nonprofit works with music schools across Haiti, and their upcoming project is to fund a music camp in the north of the country. Their Haitian collaborators are not registered as nonprofits, but they provide the space, they deal with vendors for food, music stands, and so on. So That's just going back a bit to where we ask people to share their goals and their collaborators. That's what Janet is up to.
That's great. Let me go back to that. I'm putting that back slide. And I really think that she's brought up some really important things to think about. I love that you talked about how some of the collaborators aren't official nonprofits, but they are contributing in-kind, important in-kind work and donations essentially to the work. And so what you can do there is, even though in the bottom of the line budget or other pieces, I had like specific dollar amounts, what would be really great, Janet, is, and you probably do this already because it sounds like you are, but I just want for everyone else who's listening, if you're collaborating with folks who don't need to fundraise, but are very important to the outcome, the success of the outcome of your work, be sure to both talk about them in your pitch and make sure that you're including their work as in kind. Because, and if you can translate that in kind of time into a dollar amount, that's very helpful because it shows, you say, look, all these groups are collaborating. Here are the ones that are volunteering their in-kind time. And this is how many hours the volunteers are spending. And this is the amount of, they're bringing food. This is how much the food is. It really is helpful. So, because a lot of times that could add up in terms of the amount of money. So you can say, this is how much is already being contributed towards our collaboration. So that means if your donor, if you're giving to us, the nonprofit that's official, we are helping augment all of these other collaborators to help move forward. I'm sure you're thinking about that already, Janet, but I wanted to bring it up for the bigger picture because you still can bring in folks, even if they don't need to raise money for your cause.
Yeah. I have a quick follow-up question for what you just said. Mm-hmm. So when you're doing these kind of budgets for fundraising, if you can say, we have people donating in kind, do donors like that? Do they see that and they're like, oh, yay, like the money I give will go to X program because somebody's already donating like the space or whatever?
Yeah, let me go here to my template. Okay, and I love these conversations because I think I'll make my template better here for the in-kind piece. I'm going down here, and for folks, if you can see my screen share, I'm going back to the example of collaboration budget, bottom half of budget. Okay, it's on page 5 of my template. Okay, here we go. Okay.
Perfect.
Thank you for that. Okay, so if you can see here on page 5, I have Tent City Advocates and Transition Housing Support Center. You can see that it says a committed number and then it has need at 0. I still put these folks in here because it's really important for a donor to see who all of the organizations are that are working on the work, even if they don't have a need. And then that way, when a donor is, let's say that donor, and who knows, that donor might already be giving some of the committed, you know, some of the 50,000, right? So that donor might know somebody at Tent City Advocates. They might call Tent City Advocates, not Houseless Action Group. They might not know anybody there. And they say, hey, look, I see what you're working on. Does Houseless Action Group need money? Okay, so that's cool. But let's go back to the in-kind question. Let's say you have organizations that may or may not be nonprofits, but they're committing over here, they're committing in-kind time that can translate into a dollar amount. You can add a column here that says in-kind and put the name of the, it might not be a nonprofit. Usually there's a name or some connection that you can make to some organization. And then you put it in there and you say in kind as a list. Or if they're really in kinding to you, nonprofit, like the reality is that it's in kind hours that are supporting just your work, you can put it in your row. So right. That's important. The other thing, Amanda, I want to mention about that is if you're in the United States, and it might be the case in other countries, federal or public, grants, proposal applications, when federal government or state government gives money out, a lot of times they'll require a match. And a lot of times in kind counts towards a match for the money that they will give to you. So that's another reason it's important to include in kind. Thank you for letting me go off on that.
Okay. And we have another question about the budget. So this is from Ileana. And she says, how would, so like in your budget template you have here, how would you name like an organization when the organization, well, it's not really an organization, it's a group of more than 100 doctors who donate their time and knowledge to treat and operate on the poor and low-income patients who come to their organization looking for medical health. And they also have like a group of hospitals and laboratories to help with their costs. So it's not like one organization. It's like hundreds of like individuals and organizations that are donating their time.
Okay, I love that question. Here's what I would recommend. If you have 100 specialist doctors, and this is amazing, you should consider putting a name to that. That's what I say. Because that is very powerful. And to put a name to the what is it? What are they doing? Let's see, poor patients who come to the organization ask for medical health. You know, name that. This is a really amazing movement within your organization, and highlight that as your piece. That would be my thought. So let me keep going with my presentation, because we still have one more very important item, and that is, how do you navigate disagreements over strategy in a collaboration? So I'm going to start my slideshow again. Here we go. Here's the budget. So if you all have that link. Okay, here's my special pro tip. So please, please, please. Okay, this is something that's really important. So many, there, I have never funded for my clients, a collaboration where every single nonprofit has 100% agreed on strategy and outcome. And in fact, sometimes in these collaborations, nonprofits 100% disagree. Here's what I want to tell you. That's okay. It's okay to disagree. It's super okay, because all of the issues you're working on are hard. You're trying to change societal norms. You're trying to make a difference. There's no way that all of you are going to agree on everything all the time. The thing that happens, though, that's a problem, is when you all in the nonprofit world try to hide the disagreements from the donors. And so then the donor has to find out about it indirectly, either through the press, like the press uncovers it, or something else. This is what I would recommend, is if you're going through this process that I talked to you about, where you're creating sort of a joint strategy, you're doing a budget that has this top of the line, bottom of the line collaboration, you all should sit down too, please, and think through, okay, let's be honest here. We may not agree. One of us might be more radical than the other. One of us might compromise more. There might be some long history and personalities. Air those grievances together and then talk about how you might want to address them to donors as you go out and talk. And in the end, it's okay if you say to the donor, this nonprofit is really more left-leaning. This nonprofit is more, works more on the compromise side. We don't always agree, but here's where we do agree. Here's where we don't agree. You're going to find that you're still going to be able to raise money. Probably, this is not a scientific thing, but like, I think you'd probably be able to raise more, because I've seen that happen. If you tell the donors that, because then what you're going to do, you'll find some donors that are more interested in the left-leaning, some more interested in the compromise. And they'll feel more comfortable giving, because they'll know where you guys are all at. If you have a real, if you're thinking, sitting here listening to me and going, oh my gosh, Sybil, there's so much disagreement on this that I don't even know how we're going to get into a room together to discuss it. I've seen that happen before. And what you can do is you can actually talk with a donor or donors and say, hey, we all have a common vision. We just have to work through some areas where we don't know if we can agree or disagree. We haven't really figured that out. Can you fund a facilitator to help us talk through some of these challenges? And the donor will understand. They don't want to be in the room on this. They would fund a facilitator you all trusted to help work through it. And that also engages those donors that way. So this is so important. Air your grievance openly, don't hide them, and lay out a roadmap to find common ground. And then don't be afraid to ask donors for support and help in those disagreements, because I really think you're going to find good outcomes there. All right, the mistake to avoid is you fail to mention your collaborators or offer clear explanation about each organization's unique niche and role. And I mean, I have a recent story on this. I was in a trustee meeting, and one of my trustees came into the room and they said to me, Sybil, I just had coffee with one of our grantees, And according to that grantee, it sounds like the entire thing that they worked on was all just because of them. And that really hurt them because this trustee knew that there was a whole network of people. And it just doesn't look good. So you just don't want, it's not even a question of looking good. It's just not the right thing to do. There's always, almost always more than one organization working on a cause. So make sure that you get this in there and get this in your pitch. All right. So here's our checklist. Does your work require collaboration? ? Now I put that in there. Like I told you before, I've really never seen a situation where it doesn't, that anybody's work doesn't require collaboration, but maybe there's something very niche. So I want to give you the ability to ask that question. And then if it does, then you create your plan. And then the next thing you want to do is you want to create a fundraising plan and a budget. And then you want to air your grievances. The top mistake to avoid is to fail to address collaboration altogether. And Amanda, please let me know if there's any, you've been tracking, any questions. And Alyssa, thank you for continuing to put important stuff in the chat as you hear it.
Okay, so we do have some questions. We have a couple from Arnold. So this goes back to talking about collaborators. So he was wondering what kind of collaborators should be involved in your campaign plan. Are they just other nonprofits that are related to your field of work? We touched a bit about that. It can be people who are donating in kind instead of actual nonprofits. But he's just kind of wondering, like, what kind of collaborators should he have for this?
Yeah, I love that question, Arnold. Thank you. And I was actually thinking about that beforehand. So you read my mind. When we're talking about a fundraising plan to work on a campaign, here's what I recommend is that you focus on your fellow nonprofits that are collaborating with you because you're all fundraising together. Okay. So this is what I'm focused on today. Your fundraising plan. I want you to raise money for the cause that you and your fellow nonprofits are working on. And I'm saying that really loudly and with emphasis because I want you to sit on that for a minute and then I want to complicate matters. But when you write it up, when you're sitting in that room with your other collaborators trying to reach that goal, just invite your other nonprofit leaders to do that and create your fundraising plan. However, I think all of you are probably thinking about the fact that you collaborate with lots of other entities that aren't trying to raise money necessarily in the same way you are, but that are really important. Public agencies come to mind. A lot of people partner with public agencies. Research institutions that don't need money, they're just doing the research. Other organizations that you might not feel like they're not necessarily in the same world as you in terms of trying to change that societal norm, working together in that way, but you're partnering with them for key areas of work. You don't need to have them in the fundraising plan, but you want to be sure that those folks know what you're trying to do in general, that you're trying to raise awareness. The other group that that usually isn't, that is never part of this kind of a plan, but that a lot of times nonprofits work with are decision makers like legislators or other folks like that. They're not raising money, but they're going to be interested in what you're doing. So you want to just be sure that as you're moving forward in this joint collaboration and campaign, that those sort of second circle people, the slightly outer circle people that are really important, but that might not be raising money with you, they actually know what you're doing and support it and offer input and advice into the plan in terms of how you're doing it.
Okay, we don't have another question yet. Everyone, we only have about 10 minutes left. So if you do have a question, drop it into chat very soon. So while we're waiting on that, I'm going to ask something that I was wondering about. And that's, what if you don't really have collaborators yet? So there's other people in your field, there's other nonprofits in your field doing similar work, addressing similar issues, but you're not really actively working with them, at least not yet. Should you be reaching out to them and coming up with like a plan together? Do you just fundraise without them and kind of skip the collaboration part? Like, what's the best way to approach that?
Yeah, thanks for asking that. I think it's really important. Like what happens as a donor? So let me walk you through what happens as a donor. Okay. So if I'm a donor and I care about an issue, let's say I care about climate change and I live in Oregon. I'm using this because this is where I live and I care about climate change. Okay. But I'm hypothetical. What'll happen is I'll start calling around. I'll start looking online. I'll start doing research, and I will find more than one nonprofit working on climate change in Oregon, and I'll start calling them. So the challenge to you all out there is, if you're a nonprofit working on climate change issues in Oregon, and you don't already have a plan that you've proactively done with the other nonprofits in Oregon working on climate change, then what will happen is, me as a donor, I'll start calling everybody and getting conflicting answers, starting to get confused. So you might even sit down and think, oh no, I'm doing my own thing. I'm doing my own niche. I don't really have to think through the collaboration piece. The reality is, yes, you do. If the thing you work on is working in an area that might have more than one nonprofit working on it, it will behoove you to work proactively with those other folks. And sometimes you might say, Sybil, I am. I'm calling them. I'm talking to them. But have you sat down and sort of done the exercise that I talked to about when I was just going through it with Arnold, where you go like this? Let me go back to share screen, because I do want to just emphasize this point. Let's go back here to this. With your other collaborators, even if you think you're not collaborating, but let's say there's other nonprofits out there, have you even, at least informally, maybe you haven't created a formal campaign plan, but just informally sat down, had a meeting? What are our goals? Are there any similar ones? What are the tasks to achieve our goals? What are all the nonprofits and their unique contribution to achieve that goal? And is there any joint budget that we can put together? Because almost always this is real. Like there's something there. So Amanda, I like that you're asking that question, because I think more often than not, a nonprofit will do what you're doing. They'll say, well, we're working on this, but there's a few other folks out there doing it, but we're not really, don't have to worry about sort of formalizing or having a meeting with them about joint strategy, because we're doing okay. And you might be doing okay, but I'm thinking you probably could raise even more money if you're working together. And if that donor, when they pick up the phone fresh, start calling everybody, doesn't get conflicting messages, which is what happens more often than not.
So basically, there's going to be other nonprofits working on your issue. And if you don't include them when you reach out to donors, donors are aware of these other nonprofits anyway. So yeah, they're going to be talking to them anyway, and then they're going to get different stories about how to address this issue. So it's better if you just kind of work together and tell them this is what we're doing, instead of making them.
You get so much more power. And what happens is, I think nonprofits think that leaders have told me this, if they do that, then they might lose money because it's competitive. And the opposite happens. The opposite happens when you work together. Then donors say, oh my gosh, these folks have it together. Like, we really are excited about this. And we trust that if there's disagreements, they'll be able to tell us, and we're part of the team. And donors talk to each other, and they'll compare notes. And if you own the narrative, and if you all are together on it, you just can, it's so much more powerful. So that's the message I have for you today.
All right. So thanks everyone for being here.
Thank you.
So there you have it. I hope you enjoyed this podcast as much as I enjoyed making it for you. So if you want to find out more about what I have to offer, please check out www.doyourgood.com and learn more ways to make your money matter. Until next time, do your good and be well.